Our first scripture lesson this morning is a variety of verses from the Psalms. And as you listen to them, I would invite you to think about how these people are talking to God in these verses. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. It is you who light my lamp. The Lord, my God, lights up my darkness. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You have seen, O Lord, do not be silent. O Lord, do not be far from me. Wake up, bestir yourself for my defense, for my cause, my Lord, my God. O God, you are my God, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Let me hear of your steadfast love in the morning, for in you I put my trust. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on a level path. And then we turn to the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, where Jesus is meeting with his disciples in the upper room. And Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm happy to report that our Covenant Bible study is off and running. We have two groups totaling 28 people who have covenanted to read, study, reflect, and pray together as we dive into the Bible and grow in our faith over the course of 24 weeks. This morning, I would like to invite you all to do something that the Covenant groups did at their first meeting. So I need you to find a pencil or a pen or something to write with. Hopefully there might be some pencils in the pews. If not, maybe you can borrow one from your neighbor. In our first covenant group meeting, after we had all gone around the table and shared our names, we were each asked to think about a close personal relationship and how this relationship makes us feel. So now it's your turn. Think about a close personal relationship that you have with someone. It could be a family member or a friend or a colleague, even a pet. How would you describe this relationship? How does it make you feel? And in the space in the bulletin, and there's some space in the gray margins in your bulletin next to the scriptures or over next to the hymn, I would like you to write down some of those words that describe how that relationship makes you feel. So take a few moments and be honest. The words don't all have to be positive. We all know that the most important people in our lives can be the source of both great joy and great worry and frustration. So take a moment and write down a few words. Okay, does everybody have at least a few words jotted down? Now, I'd like you to look at that list again. How many of those words would you use to describe your relationship with God or with Jesus? Do any of them fit? Do you even think of God or Jesus in this way, as a dear friend or an important member of your family? If not, why do you suppose that is so? And if you do, how did you come to have this kind of relationship with God? Regardless of whether you think of God in this way, what do you think it takes to nurture this kind of a close, personal relationship with Jesus? These are the kinds of questions that our focus on Christian discipleship asks us today. Over the past several weeks, we have been reflecting on just what it means to be a Christian disciple. So far, we've discovered that being a Christian disciple means being a lifelong learner, experiencing some kind of a call to follow Jesus, and working to continue Christ's mission in the world. Today's answer to the question is, a Christian disciple has a personal relationship or friendship with Christ. Now, I'll be the first to admit that we Presbyterians aren't always comfortable thinking or talking about God and Jesus in this way. This is language we usually hear from our more evangelical brothers and sisters in faith, and some of us are content to keep it that way. We like having a more professional relationship with God. Our Reformed theology lifts up a sovereign, transcendent God, and we are just fine keeping a little distance between us and our Creator. After all, the Bible never mentions anything about a personal relationship and having one with God, so why should it be important for us? Well, for starters, we believe in a personal God, a God who created us in God's own image. Male and female, God created us. A God who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. A God who talked to people, sometimes directly and other times through dreams and messengers and burning bushes. We believe in a God who lived with the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness and found a home in the Promised Land. And a God who dwells within us, too. We believe in a God who gets involved in the details of daily life, providing food and water and clothing, leadership and guidance, strength and healing and hope. We believe in a God who takes on human form and is born among us in the person of Jesus. A God who is intimately involved in people's lives and the life of this world that God created and loves. Although the phrase personal relationship does not appear anywhere in the Bible, it is clear that our ancestors in faith related to God in personal ways. We are told that Noah walked with God. In Exodus, we read that the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And listen to how the psalmists pray and sing and cry out to God. I love you, God. Help me, God. Listen to me, God. You're the only one I can count on, O Lord. Wake up, God. Where are you, God? Thank you, God. You're the best. Yes, I'm paraphrasing a bit here. But I've said those exact same words to people in my own house over this past week. They are relational words directed toward a relational God. In our passage from John's Gospel, Jesus helps us understand this relationship even better. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, he says. Abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Friends. Jesus calls us friends. The Savior of the world is our friend. Through Jesus' love, we are all God's friends. And friends are personal. The Greek word for friends here is philoi, which comes from the Greek word philio, to love, as in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, or philosophy, the love of wisdom. A friend is literally a loved one. As God loved Jesus, Jesus loves us. And as his disciples, we are called to live in his love for us and to be his friend. Friends. Jesus wants to be our friend, maybe even our best friend. You know, the person we stay up all night talking to, or with whom we can just hang out and never say a word. The person with whom we can share the minor details, the small victories, and the big questions and challenges of our lives. The buddy we can both laugh and cry with, the one who knows our history and our shortcomings, and who loves us and forgives us and stands by us anyway. In social media lingo, what we have here in John 15 is the best friend request we could ever hope to receive. However, the kind of friendship that Jesus offers goes far beyond the momentary, sometimes superficial and self-serving connections that we make on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Jesus is offering us a connection to our Creator, the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, and who offers us love and grace anew every day, the one in whom we live and move and have our being, the one through whom we can find meaning and purpose in life. To reconnect us to our God, Jesus chooses us to be his friend. Sometimes it's hard to think of Jesus in this way because he's not here with us in the flesh like he was for those first disciples. Or is he? You see, when Jesus said those words to his disciples, he was getting ready to leave them. He knew he would soon face his death and whatever was on the other side, and he wanted to prepare his disciples for life after he had gone. So he told them what they had to do to be his friend, to have a personal relationship with him no matter what happened. Abide in my love, Jesus said. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No greater love, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. We are Jesus' friends when we love one another. And as we love one another, we experience the friendship of Christ and the love of God for all of us. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty personal to me. We believe in a personal God, and we are all members of Christ's body. Jesus' eyes and ears, mouth and arms, hands and feet. We are called to live Christ's love with one another, just as Jesus has loved us. And love is personal. So maybe it would help to think of it this way. Every time we gather around the Lord's table and share in communion together, it's like having coffee with our dearest friend or going to a family reunion. Every time we allow ourselves to be touched by the beauty of God's creation to marvel and say thank you, we are experiencing God in a personal way. Every time we pray, alone or in a group, we are talking with God. We are sharing our lives with the source of our life. Every time we gather for Bible study or wrestle with issues of faith and life, we are getting to know Jesus better. Whenever we forgive someone or are forgiven, we can see the face of God. Every time we offer or receive support, the touch of a hand, a hug, a shoulder to cry on, a blanket. We are experiencing the everlasting arms, the care and concern of our best friend, Jesus. Every time we befriend the kinds of people Jesus befriended, the poor, the broken, the outcast, the hurting, the lost, we see them through God's eyes, and we listen to them with Christ's compassion, and we respond with Jesus' hands and feet. Whenever we work for peace and justice, we are walking with God. That's what it means to have a personal relationship with God and Jesus Christ. We believe in a personal God who became a person so we could experience God's love for us in a personal way, so that we could respond by loving God, one another, and this world through personal relationships. As we all know, any good relationship takes work to grow and stay strong. God has already promised to do the work and be faithful to us. Jesus has already promised to be with us always. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we accept Jesus' friend request and commit ourselves to this personal relationship, to love as we have been loved, to be a friend, that all the world may know God's love. Amen.